service by singing hymn 959, and the tune is Lloyd 172. 959, for mercies countless as the sands, which daily I receive from Jesus my Redeemer's hands. My soul, what canst thou give? Alas, from such a heart as mine, what can I bring him forth? My best is stained and dyed with sin, my all is nothing worth. 959.
First Book Samuel, chapter 16, reading as far as verse 5. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. We turn now to chapter 17. Chapter 17 commence at verse 17. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, and of the armies of the Philistines, and spake concerning the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner, And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth, that when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said moreover, The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and assayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on, and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about, and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. The Lord bless to us the reading of his word, and help us now in prayer. Almighty Lord God of heaven and of earth, in whom we live and move and have our being, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. New every morning are thy compassions, great is thy faithfulness. Thou hast brought us once more to an anniversary occasion in this cause of truth. Earnestly do we seek for the felt presence of the Lord in the midst, for the power of the Holy Spirit upon the word of God, that our hearts might be prepared to receive, the ear to hear. Oh, we pray that thy word may be not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance. We pray for the demonstration then of thy power and the felt presence of our God, and grace much needed to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And thou, O Holy Spirit, be our remembrancer, that we may look back and remember all the way that thou hast led us. And Lord, the miracle is, the wonder is, that amazing grace that thou hast laid hold upon us, that called by thy divine grace, that we walk no longer alone, but we look back and trace not what we have done, but what thou hast done. Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And so, our gracious God, we humbly acknowledge thy great mercy to us, and would, as we've sung in the opening hymn, ascribe all praise and glory unto thee for mercies countless as the sand, which daily we receive, humbly and truthfully acknowledging we're not worthy of the least of all thy mercies. But thou knowest, Lord, how that precious word mercy is so dear to our soul, how it fills, as it were, our prayers and our desires, because we trace the streams of those spiritual blessings, of the mercies of our God, flowing through the precious blood of the dear Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we feel, though we are older, we feel in one sense greater sinners than ever, because thy Spirit is teaching us and showing us where our sin is, that which we've never seen before. But, Lord, we bless thee that thou dost not leave us there, because this very renewed sight of our sinfulness leads us afresh to Calvary, leads us to the dear Redeemer, to the precious blood to the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. So our gracious God, accept the tribute of our hearts, the desire of our soul to render praise for mercies hitherto help afforded, strength given, thy care over us, divine protection in our going out and coming in, the comfort of our homes, and food to eat, raiment to wear. O Lord, all speak of the goodness of our God. But Lord, we pray most of all, and this is our earnest desire, for the flowing forth afresh of those spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that thou wilt come even to us as that dear Samaritan went to the poor man there left, wounded, bruised, stripped, robbed, dying, perishing, helpless. And yet, Lord, thou didst not pass him by. Thou didst take care of it. We know that there is the literal teaching of that word, and may we take heed to it. May grace be given to thy children to walk out the truth in its practical part and minister as far as thou art enable us to do it to one and another. But Lord, we also view it, and we do not feel it wrong to say it. We see Jesus. We see ourselves there in that ditch. We see our lost state, our ruined condition. We see those that would pass us by, but thou didst not pass us by. Thou didst say, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And not only didst thou say, come, but thou didst give us the power to come, for without that we could never come. And thou didst draw us, Lord. Oh, the drawing power of heaven. Oh, wondrous power, and it needs heavenly Holy Spirit power to draw such sinners as we are to the dear Saviour of sinners, as thou, dear Jesus, did say, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And this he said, signifying by what death he should die. And so, Lord, it is this, that the cross, not the little literal wooden structure, but he that suffered on that cross, is so dear, so precious, the one thing needful to us. To him we flee, to him we come, and the Father's gift made known by the Holy Spirit of God. And we see, O gracious God, Almighty Jehovah, God the Father, Son, and God the Holy Ghost, all concerned in the salvation of wretched sinners, Lord, such as we are. And oh, we bless thee, and 'twas grace that taught my soul to pray, and pardoning love to know. 'Twas grace that kept me to this day, and will not let me go. And that's wonderful, Lord. We need that, for we know that whilst drawn to thee, left to ourselves, Lord, where should we go? Oh, where should we? Sheep wander if they lose sight of the shepherd. Oh, Lord, do keep us eyes fixed on thee, and our feet close to following the good shepherd of the sheep, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it from thy courts above. Oh, do come, dear Jesus. We look back, this poor, unworthy sinner, over the many years in this pulpit, and Lord, we believe we've known a little of thy blessing, of thy presence, of thy love, of thy grace, and Lord, we want it again. We want more, yet more, yet more. And yet, Lord, thou knowest, thou art the sovereign God. Thou art too wise to be mistaken, too good to be unkind. But, Lord, thou knowest, oh, we do pray for the time when the heart, the times when the harp is taken down from the willows, when with joy we draw water out of the wells of salvation, when Christ is precious, when we lay hold upon the dear Redeemer, and Lord are made willing, as it were, to go to heaven, be willing to part with all, be willing because we can't part with Jesus, and we believe, oh wondrous, wondrous thought, he will not part with us. We deserve it, Lord. Oh, when we think of the sins of our ministry, the sins of our profession, oh Lord, what do we deserve? Thy wrath, but oh, thy mercy is so great. Lord, we want to live more closely with thee. We want to walk more closely in communion. We want to be more like our Jesus. Oh, do grant it, we earnestly pray. Do come, O Lord. Thus, Lord, thy waiting servants bless and crown thy gospel with success. May the glory of the Lord, Lord, dare we pray it, and we will, and yet subject to thy will, the desire of our heart for thy glory, that thy glory may fill the place, fill our hearts, that we may see no man save Jesus only. Oh, grant it, Lord, we're not worthy of it. Oh, we're only fit for the chastening of our God. And, Lord, if that is needful, then, Lord, help us to receive it submissively and to prove even in that that it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Bless the dear people, Lord. And thou knowest there are many this day, as we've been told, unable to gather. So we pray for them who we trust their hearts and thoughts and prayers are toward this place. And we pray for them, but those that are gathered, let them not come in vain. Lord, they will come in vain if it's left to me. But if thou art pleased to come to this poor sinner, then it will be well. Do it, Lord, do it, do it, for thy great name's sake we pray. Leave not my soul destitute. Lord, do bless this dear people, and we can say that truly from our heart. Now, Lord, thou knowest that bond in the gospel, that fellowship in the gospel, from the first day until now. Oh, Lord, and we do pray that thou wilt crown it all this day with thy felt presence and the power of thy Spirit through thy precious word. We would see Jesus, Jesus only. Do bless our beloved friend, and we mean it, Lord, beloved, thy dear servant, the beloved pastor, in his many, many labors, heavy burdens, anxieties, at times hard things. Do strengthen his hands in the work. Do enrich him in his soul. Do favor him with all needed grace. Do shed abroad thy love in his heart, that his soul may be as a watered garden. And Lord, may the word be preached, may his soul be given sweet liberty, and yet even there should there be a time of bondage, struggle, and there is with us at times, and yet we've proved, and we can't believe it, and yet it's true, that very time has been the blessing to the hearers, to some poor burdened soul. So, Lord, may he have continually the consolation of the word confirmed, and we pray with signs following. Bless the dear brethren, the deacons, help them in their office, each member of the church, to grant that grace to be stand firm in the old paths, to hold fast the profession of their faith without wavering, and to prove, Lord, thy grace all needful, all sufficient. Remember those now gathered, many that are not well or in pain. We pray that thou wilt heal and strengthen and give patience to bear pain. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt remember any that may be cast down, depressed, tempted, ready to give up. Hear the praises of any that are rejoicing in the Lord, and we trust there are those. So, Lord, thou knowest where each stand before thee in their spiritual experience. We do pray thy blessing on our dear aged friend who on the past days reached such a marked anniversary time in her life of the 100 years of the goodness of her God. And we commit with the dear friends, and we feel it a privilege to do it, this dear friend to the God of all grace, that she may prove even at that great age, even to your old age, I am he, the all-sufficient God, and crown the last days and years of the pilgrim journey with the visit of her Lord, we humbly and earnestly pray. And bless our dear friends we see from Wales. We pray for them and thank thee for the felt union and bond of love to them, and pray thy blessing upon them where they worship and all others gathered here at this time. Lord, we lay the whole matter before thee. We bring our need to thee. We pray for a blessing indeed. So, Lord, hear our poor petitions. Do great things, not, Lord, thou knowest it's not because a poor sinner is here this day in this pulpit. It's thy name, it's thy glory, it's thy people, it's thy word, it's thy gospel, it's thy blessing, it's all thine that we seek for. And we would be nothing. We are but a poor earthen vessel, and a very poor one too. But Lord, thou dost pour into earthen vessels. Thou dost pour through. And oh, may there be a pouring out even this day, we earnestly pray. Now may the words of my mouth, meditation of our heart, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Shall we continue by singing hymn 339, June Darwell's, 537. 339. Oh, my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears. But greater, Lord, thou art than all my doubts and fears. Did Jesus once upon me shine, then Jesus is for ever thine, mine. Unchangeable his will, whatever be my frame, his loving heart is still eternally the same. My soul through many changes goes, his love no variation knows. 339.
Thank you.
in dependence upon the Lord for all needed help, I venture this afternoon to draw your prayerful attention to the first book of Samuel, chapter 16, verse 2, first clause. First book Samuel, chapter 16, verse 2, and the first clause. And Samuel said, "How can I go?" As the Lord help me, I attempted to speak from these words recently. In doing so, the services today rested much upon my spirit. A circumstance arose which rather led me to think perhaps it was not for me to bring it. I sought this afternoon for about an hour to meditate on another word, and my heart was cold, my mind shut up. I turned back to this word, and I hope that the Lord is in the matter, and it will be for his honor and for his glory. First, we will notice the gift to Israel of Samuel. May we say the product of tears and cries before God of dear Hannah, praying for a son and saying that if God heard her prayer and blessed her despite all that she was passing through, that she would give him to the Lord. And so it was. Samuel was asked of the Lord, and he was made a great blessing to Israel. And we read of his faithful ministry and labor among the people, as when they asked for a king, mark, Samuel means asked for of God. The people asked for a king, and despite all that God had done for them, their deliverance from Egypt, their journey through the wilderness, their conquering the land of Canaan, and God's goodness and provision, oh no, they wanted to be like other nations and have a king over them. And Samuel was deeply grieved because of this. But there was his testimony. Now just refer to it, because as he spoke about it, he said this, that he asked them, he said, "Here I am, witness against me before the Lord, before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or whom have I defrauded, whom have I oppressed, by whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith, and I will restore it." A wonderful testimony, not boasting, by the grace of God. And my friend, why name it? Our hearts need to be searched. Are we living up to the standard set before us in the Word of God? Saul was anointed to be king. To my mind, one of the most solemn characters in the Word of God, because there seemed such a good beginning, there seemed humility, there seemed a willingness to be instructed. He speaks of the name of God and so forth. But, oh, beloved friend, what sad and solemn events followed. I'm not going to spend much longer on this, except to say that Samuel put him to the test and told him to go to Gilgal, was it not, and there to wait 7 days when Samuel himself would come and offer the sacrifice. The seventh day dawned. Samuel had not as yet come, but the sun had not set. And Saul immediately took matters into his own hand and offered the sacrifice, and then Saul came. And then Saul warned him that because of his disobedience, that the kingdom would be taken away from him. And later on, as we read this, how that the Lord told Saul to go up against the Amalekites and destroy them utterly. It was God's judgment for the sin that the Amalekites had committed when the Israelites were in the wilderness coming up behind them and cruelly coming into battle. And now he said, nothing is to be spared, nothing is to be kept by the people. The battle is over. Samuel goes and he says, what's this? I hear the bleating of sheep. I hear the lowing of the cattle. And oh, because of Saul's disobedience, I'm not going into the details, you well know it, that he is warned of Samuel because he has disobeyed the voice of God. Hath the Lord, said Samuel, has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And though Saul said, I had sinned, there was no repentance, no turning to God. And now Samuel had said that that kingdom would be taken away from him. Then the Lord comes to Samuel and says, Samuel, you're to go to the house of Jesse and find there, as I should direct you, as one of his sons to be king in the place of Saul. And Samuel, as he hears this, says, and we can well understand it, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. Remember this. It was Samuel that said that. A great man of God, and yet here he is filled with fear. And this may be a comfort to the fearing ones, and perhaps we're all like that. But even if Samuel said that, how can I go, that this will be an encouragement to us as we journey on and come to those situations where we say, how can I go? How can I go forward? Oh, how we shrink from the path. How we would turn aside. How we would find a way round. But God does not permit us to find any other way round. It's through much tribulation that we shall enter into the kingdom. I will take for an example, and it's for this reason that I read about David and Goliath, a history so well known to us. In fact, I remember as a little boy of only about 4 years old, sitting on a dear aunt of mine on my lap, and she would tell me of the Bible, and one of them was Joseph, another one was Daniel. Even as a little boy of 4 years old, how wonderful to have somebody talking to children about the Word of God. And that's your and my responsibility today. David had been anointed as to be king. Then his father bids him go to the host to take food, and he goes forth, and as he hears sees the situation, hears the words that are uttered, and how his brethren misunderstand him, as he is there, Eliab, his eldest brother. And I've sometimes thought this. David fought a battle before he touched Goliath. He conquered his own spirit. He could have well replied in a wrong way to Eliab, but he meekly said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? You know, it's not only Goliaths. It's our own spirit. It can be a real Goliath. And we need to pray Almighty God, do in thy mercy help us to gain the victory. I need not tarry long on this. How can I go? Yes, he is made willing to go. He has faith in his God. It's not David. It's David and his God, or God and his David. And Saul said, how can you go, as it were? But David said he would go in the name of the Lord. My friend, when God gives us a path to walk, and we see that it's in the name of God, may faith be given to us, however difficult and hard it may be. May grace be given to us to take courage and know that our God will never fail us in that matter. We may be tempted to try and find some way of easing the situation. By that I mean this. Saul provided David with armor, but David put it on and he essayed to go, and he could not go in that armor. In other words, stripped of all natural possible help and means of battle against this great giant. How often God works in these ways. Perhaps I'll come back to another one in a moment. It just comes to my mind. But carry on here. We won't get confused. So try not. And those five smooth pebbles and his sling, but it's not that. It is God. Who would think that a shepherd boy with just a sling and a stone and this mighty man coming against him, that David, by the grace of God, would gain the victory? That you observe how that David speaks the whole way through. Not me, says David, it's God. The Lord will deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee. It's God that will do it. And all this assembly shall know, not that David has been so brave, that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And we, in life's journey, in the path and the pilgrim, have to do battle with the enemy of souls, with our own fallen nature, with evil and from error. And my friend, may we ever prove that where it's that the battle is the Lord's, we may look to God for that help and strength to take the whole armor of God to stand and to withstand. And well we know how David prevailed over the Philistine and victory was given. But as I was naming that, very suddenly came into my mind another character, Gideon. How can I go? God said, I'll raise thee up. Thou wilt deliver Israel from the Midianites, was it not? And he said, but I'm the least of all. Surely I will be with thee. And right through his experience, and we must not tarry long on it, it seems to come rather sweetly to my mind, that step by step, as the man shrunk in himself and felt, oh, I can't go, I can't do it. Then God would give him a sign. Then he'd come, and then that sign would be tested again. My friend, God puts all things to the test, and we shrink, and then we're helped. Then we say, I can go. And then another test. You see, there he came, and there was that test that God, Gideon asked God with the fleece, and how God confirmed it. And then what did God do? Strip the army down to 300 men. How can I go? But then God gives another encouragement. You're to go down. Go. Mark that word, go. Go down into the camp. And I look at this word sometimes. If you're afraid, take fear of thy servant. Now we've got to be very careful there. We must not lean on the arm of flesh, on anybody. But there are times when God raises up someone to walk with us, of like spirit we may say, and that we strengthened and encouraged to go forward. How often, now I may be personal here, I'm only speaking the truth, your dear pastor and I, we exchange a few words every Saturday evening as far as we can. Now that often strengthened my hands Now, I mustn't lean on your pastor. I don't do that, but it's the word through him. And I believe it's both ways. I say that reverently, humbly, not boasting of anything, so strengthening. Now, it goes down. Now, how is it that it goes outside that tent? Why that tent? Why that moment? Why has that one man had a dream? Why has he woke up? Why is he telling about it? Why does he give the interpretation? God is in control. And so much so that this man, so full of fear, he said, surely you know the Lord would be with us, and he would go forth into battle assured of the presence and help of his God. I no need to turn to the word accurately, but that is the sum and substance. Well, my friend, how can I go? This comes often, I believe, in the pilgrim journey of the child of God, because it's no easy way to glory. And my friend, we are taught increasingly our weakness. That is, we should not boast in our ability, if we have it, or our talent, or anything else, but have to go trembling, perhaps inwardly, and yet in faith, leaning upon our beloved, strengthened to go forth into the path unknown to us. You've not passed this way heretofore, but God is with us. Now, we will take one or two instances, just practical instances in our life. How, for example, there are times, and the younger people particularly, with their exams and their interviews, how can I go? And when we go before a specialist, we have some matter with the body, and it may be giving us a great concern. I could take just an example, if I may, on the second visit that was proposed for my going to America with my dear wife. My heart trouble flared up, and I had to see a specialist. And he sat there, and I explained to him how I was faced, what should I do. We'd got the tickets booked and everything. And he said, I can't give you the red light to stop or the green light to go. But I prayed, just like I can truly say Nehemiah before the king. And it was shown to me, you cannot go. There was a purpose in it. Dear Mr. Hyde went in my place. I believe it was desired to go, and if he hadn't gone then, he would never have done it. My friend, we see God makes no mistake. And my friend, there, you see, I said, how can I go? But then it led me into a further. It wasn't so, how can I go to America? How can I go through that operation? And yet I felt in measure God was with me. And God so blessed me. I've told you before, that very night, as I was waiting for the operation, oh, he drew near in the early hours of the morning. Everything was quiet. His left hand is under my head, his right hand doth embrace me. I said, Lord, that can't be me. It is. Oh, the sacred meditation. Oh, the blessings of it. It was near heaven for a few moments. I needed it, friend. It doesn't mean to say the way was easy. Oh, I need it. I know the one time there was a panic round my bed. I think things were pretty serious, but I leave it. I pardon my personal intrusion in this matter. How can I go? And now, again, I want to take another aspect of this word. How can I go? And here is some path, some duty, some call of God. It could be that someone is exercised about baptism. How can I go? I'm such a sinner. I'm sure. Oh, how can I go to stand before those godly people? My dear trembling one that I may be talking to, I do not know. I say to you that people will be praying for you. They won't be seeking to pull you to pieces. You will desire them to trace out the work of grace in your heart, and they'll do it very tenderly, very lovingly, very encouragingly, very prayerfully. How can I go? Yes, beloved friend, the Lord will be with thee. To my own experience, pardon again another word intrusion again, but my joy wasn't so much in my baptism. It was in my testimony before the church. It gave me the greatest joy of all, that what was bottled up for so long poured out. My friend, the purpose of telling is this. It's not so much a close examination. That is in it to a point, but it's this. It is Christian union and love. That's the purpose. You say, well, how can it come? If a poor thing comes trembling and broken words and crying about groans and cries and tears and mercy, how can there be love and union there? The very thing. Because as that testimony is heard, one say, I know what that one means. Not that every testimony is the same. Far from that. But something would be warm the heart, unite the spirit. There's two people, they're blended as one. Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? Remember that, beloved friend. How can I go? We could speak also of the solemn work of the ministry. It's not the first time, shall I put it this way, when the work of exercise begins, one immediately says, how can I go? That would be with us right to the last sermon we preach. I say that clearly. You say, man, you've been preaching here for years, and you have to say that now. I say it more than ever. How can I go? Utterly dependent upon God. I will not lengthen my word on the ministry. One almost constrained just to make a thought, though I hadn't intended this. You take that little word, go. It was spoken to Moses. It was spoken to Joshua. It was spoken to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos. It's a word, go. And when God says to a man, go, and you say, how can I go? Then, my friend, and the devil says, you can't go. Unbelief says, I'm not fit to go. God says, go. God will be thy sufficiency. I remember in my exercise of the ministry, who is sufficient for these things? Then it came, but our sufficiency is of God. That's the secret. How can I go? Another aspect in practical religion. Something very difficult now. How can I go and say sorry to somebody? You will understand, friend, I know nothing of this cause whatsoever. Nothing's been said by your pastor to give me any hint at all. So I'm free in speaking. Even if I knew I would have to speak, that would be right. But there are times when the minister knows nothing. My friend, today, even in the world, it seems as though that people have forgotten the word sorry. But how much more a child of God? We've said something wrong. We've been in a wrong spirit. We've done something wrong. And we're hard. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to bend myself. Years and years ago, I knew a man that worked for then was the Age of Pilgrims, in a very high position in the Bank of England. And he, speaking to me, he said, the other day I had to do something, one of the hardest things in my life. So, of course, I was very interested to what that was. He said, I had to say sorry to a young man. Well, I did love that man. That man was a great man. And so is a great man that can go and say sorry. Yes, may God give us that grace to acknowledge our faults one to the other and speak one to the other. How can I go? I've done wrong. How can I go and ask somebody to forgive me? I've already hinted on that, but I've got merging into another aspect. Perhaps, I put it this way, not that I've got anyone in my mind at all, somebody, say, has done me wrong. And they come to me, and say, will you forgive me? How can I go? That man's hurt me, wounded me, unjust, unkind. Forgive?
No.
Wait. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. How can I go? My dear friends, may the spirit of forgiveness be ours. Even if they reject it, you've acted in the spirit of Christ. But this forgiveness, I have said it before, I don't know whether I said it here, I can't tell you about that at all, but it's got to be real. You see, Saul said, I have sinned. There was confession, but it was dead. There was no repentance, no sorrow for it whatsoever. But my friend, I say, may grace be given to us to truly forgive. I remember reading years ago two boys at school. They were different families, but they were great friends, ever such great friends. Sadly, there came a dreadful quarrel. Mother was putting her boy to bed. And he said, wait till tomorrow. I'll get my own back. Mother said, no, boy, you can't go to sleep like that. You must forgive. Oh, said, yes, forgive. But wait till tomorrow. I'll get my own back. Shall I be condemned if I say that this is prevalent and can be prevalent in our churches? I will not forgive. Don't misunderstand me. Forgiveness does not mean condoning fault and error. I try to be a good gardener, but I fail. I'm tired. There's that weed. Get hold of it. Yes, I think it's all right. Oh, I've snapped it. Oh, to get the trowel. Oh, to dig it out. Oh, no, I'm too tired. Let it be. What happens? It grows all the stronger, doesn't it? All the stronger. How can I go? How can I go? I want to be careful, but it does come suddenly to my mind because I'd rather, it may be a bit of a person or one of our dear friends, than waiting before him. How do you go? How did you go? Is it not a matter of prayer? Lord, give me a beloved husband or wife, as the case may be. How can I go? And remember, it's unto death do us part. May grace be given to us to remember that, cherish deeply the love one to the other, especially when both fear and love the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil will do all he can to stir up, shall I say, our personal feelings and so forth. My friend, may grace be given to not to go to sleep until there's been reconciliation and prayer. When one cannot see eye to eye, to pray, Lord, show us what to do. To walk together in love. My married life, no married life is perfect on this earth. But I was favoured with a lovely wife. I say that it's God's gift to me. So we had a wonderful married life together. It wasn't perfect, oh dear me, no. But it was wonderful. And my friend, this is to be cherished. And then I think of husbands and wives. I was speaking recently at the prayer meeting of Manoah and his wife. Look how those two work together. And look, the wife was the stronger one there. And born of Manoah, he was afraid everything was going wrong. How I should die. No, if God has shown us such things as these, surely it will be well, something to that effect. May God bless you. And those of us that are married, or have been married, we look back and we pray, God, keep us close to each other. I hope I've not spoken wrong. I hope my dear friend will not be offended that I've named it this afternoon. Another aspect of this word. My soul and God. Done something wrong. I don't know how you feel at night. One looks back and says, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I've been too light and foolish. I've been unkind. I know you say, have you dealt with that? Yes, but I'm looking at it now, my soul and God now. It's against my God. I feel very tried because I don't want you to think I'm bringing too much of myself, because I'm bringing something in that's against me now. A lesson I should never forget. A very painful one. I was preaching in Bedfordshire on a weeknight. A dear young friend came up because I was due in that same area the next week. I'm ever so sorry, she said, I shan't be able to come and hear you because I'm on duty. Foolishly, a minister of the gospel said, then I shan't come. As soon as I said it, I thought, what have you done? You ever say anything like that and you feel like that? Well, I'm a poor thing, you know. I know what repentance is there. I have to do business with my God. How can I go to the throne of grace now, having said that? How can I go? Not so much going to do the service, is how can I go to God? But my friend, there is the throne of grace. There is room for the poor sinner, broken-hearted, filled with sorrow and grief and pain over what he's done, said, or whatever it may be. And the Lord is ready to receive and ready to forgive. I felt the Lord would be just if I was not able, through illness or anything, to fulfill that engagement, but I believe the Lord forgave me and enabled me to go. I name it, my friend, because in the Bible these dear saints mentioned where they went wrong. And it encourages us, not that we want to go wrong, but we find that they're not the only ones and we're not the only ones. But it tells us that God is ready to forgive. Look at Jonah. How can I go? I'm not going to go. I'm going to Tarshish. There's the boat ready. Yes, even if I pay the fare. And I go to sleep. I needn't worry about anything. I'm going my way. And my friend, be careful. You say you'd never do it. If we say that, we're prone to fall. Lord, keep me. We know where it led to Jonah, but did God bar the way to the throne of grace? Did he say, Jonah, as you look again toward the holy temple, Lord, as you pray to Jehovah, that he shut out your prayer, that he had nothing to do with you? You perish in that big fish. No. Jonah was a strange character, so am I, in many ways. And I expect you feel that yourself. How can I go? The way is still open. The door of mercy still stands open. God still receives sinners. God is ready to forgive. How can I go? Oh, the way may come to you in many other aspects. I do not know. I could name others as the Lord gives them to me, because in life's journey, there may be difficulties. There may be a decision to make. It may be two paths, literally. Or it may be a decision to make, yes or no. It may be to go that way or that way. How can I go? Where shall I go? How can I tell? You say, well, you pray for it. That is right. How do you pray before a heart-searching God? Have you already chosen your path and asked God to bless it? Don't do that. I'm not saying you shouldn't ask God to bless it, but don't go and choose the path first. Wait upon God in prayer. You may say, but I prayed and prayed and prayed, I get no light on it at all. I will never shall forget, in my exercise about the ministry, I read, and I've never found it since, in a very old gospel standard, if we make a matter of real prayer, with submission to the will of God, that though the Lord may not give clear direction as such, he will not suffer that one to err. I believe it. We walk by faith and not by sight. I know not whether this ramble has left you this afternoon. My dear friends, there's one thing about it. Well, I tried to get away from it. I said, I'm not going to take it to Chippenham. My conscience now is clear. My spirit is eased as far as that goes. Not that I boast of my preaching. I don't mean that. But I feel clear before my God. How can I go? How can I go into a Bethesda home? That it may be before me. At the moment, through God's maintaining my strength, it's not so. My name is on the list. But I think of those who are faced with this. How can I go? It's hard to give up your home, isn't it? And yet, there you cannot look after yourself. And there is a wonderful provision made. You say, but it's not perfect. Is your home perfect? There are those who love the Lord Jesus. And who can tell God is sending you to that home as to what you should desire to be? And that is an influence for good in that home, a witness. May God give God direction and guidance. I come now to the latter, last point, really, as it comes to my mind. It's a path, unless the Lord comes before we die, but we anticipate we shall come to the last step. Now if we say, how can I go? Go you must. Go you will. No medical science, great as it is, as God has given it in these days, can save life beyond God's eternal purpose. That means the throne of judgment. That means I must stand there before a holy, heart-searching God. Although, let's take a step back first, death itself. To come to the actual hours of death and have the sweet confidence within us, the blessed assurance that it is well. I know, said Paul, whom I have believed and am persuaded is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, wonderful. I've been privileged to be at the deathbed of some of the dear saints of God. The deacon, my pastor, my father, my dear mother, though she had a lifelong fear of death and the most painful death I've ever known, but she was wonderfully helped through. You see, the point is this. We want dying grace now. God won't give it. He'll give you prepared grace. He'll give you dying grace when you come to it. God won't fail us there. Yea, though I walk, I know it means not only death itself, but it does include death. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. How shall I stand? And I must stand. Oh, clothed in the robe of righteousness, washed in the precious blood, to hear that wonderful voice. Come, ye blessed of my Father, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. How unutterably solemn to die with all our sin, leave everything behind, but never can leave our sin behind. Our sin can only be washed in the blood of Christ. May we know it and been able to say in peace, let me resign my breath and thy salvation see. My sins deserve eternal death, but Jesus died for me. That's the secret. The Lord in his mercy pardon anything that I've said wrong this afternoon, but bless his own word for his name and glory. Amen.
If the Lord will, there will be tea provided in the Emery Lane Congregational Church schoolroom after this service, and all friends are warmly welcome. You turn left out of the chapel and between the flats and at the end of the lane. Collections are being taken today for the chapel funds. Shall we conclude this service by singing to God's praise hymn 605, June Cliviger, number 20. The just by faith shall live, nor fear the powers of hell. All blessings that a God can give, in Christ most richly dwell. By faith in Christ as God, as prophet, priest and king, the just shall live and live to prove that death has lost its sting. 605.
Confirming in the hymns chosen by the dear pastor for this service that have been a comfort and encouragement to this poor man. Now, Lord, bless us as we go to the tea table and be with us. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Amen.